Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to this Sunday edition of the Big Puzzle. My name's Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia through the facilities of People's Internet Radio. Hello? Oh, somebody was trying. I heard a noise there in the background. Anyways, People's Internet Radio, we're also being simulcast on Shake and Wake Radio. Thanks for Annie for her efforts. We are a viewer-supported station, guys, so if you like the programs, that's program with Steve just before I came on here, Ellen and Steve, was an awesome show. Kudos to you guys for bringing that information forward. But yeah, hit the donate button and help the station out. Boy, I'll tell you, this last week has just been crazy with the Kavanaugh hearings in the States, and I did follow it quite closely. But I'm joined by an online Canadian podcaster by the name of Rob Adonis. Now, I was just introduced to Rob here through a mutual friend, and he was recommended highly to get on my show. I had a chance to listen to one of his podcasts prior to the show today, and pleasure having you on, Rob. And there's lots to talk about, but I'd really like to get into political affairs in the States, because Canadians don't seem to realize the implications for Canada. But what a circus that was this week. How are you doing, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Barry. I appreciate it. Honor to be here. And yes, I absolutely was paying very close attention to what was going down with the Kavanaugh hearings, and paid very close attention and actually watched the entire Friday, what I would call circus of what was going on with this man and his family. And I think that I paid really close attention to this because of the fact that I felt like whatever was going to come out of it was going to have very large repercussions into Canada. And that said, I watched an individual, this Christine Blasey Ford, who was apparently forced by the Democratic Party in order to come forth. And whether that's true or not remains to be seen. But everything that she stated was very scripted. Nothing could be corroborated. There were no dates that would line up. There were no people who would line up. All of her so-called witnesses absolutely refuted everything that she said. And I watched Brett Kavanaugh and his family be not only dragged through the mud, but this man's reputation, who he had built for the last 40 years of being one of the most conservative judges, very nonpartisan in terms of the way he judged things and such. It was absolutely despicable. So I certainly hope in this supposed review by the FBI, which in this case, he already had six FBI investigations, which found nothing in his background to state that he shouldn't be appointed as a Supreme Court judge. To actually take another week or a day or whatever it is that it's going to be, this whole circus again was purely by the Democratic Party in order to create a delay, in order to probably bring forth more accusers who, as all of them have been shown, have nothing to bring to the table other than to create a, an end goal for the Democratic Party. In this case, is to not have anybody appointed to the Supreme Court before the midterm elections.
It's a travesty. It really is. I watched this man being destroyed, and I've looked at his credibility in the past, and like you said, he's gone through six FBI investigations already. I actually believe this next FBI investigation will absolutely turn the apple cart right upside down on these folks, because you are going to see perjury charges forthcoming as a result of that investigation. That's my assessment of what I see going on. This is just an absolute joke. It's not a joke. It's so sad that we see things get to this point where the presumption of innocence is thrown out the window. This man is lambasted in a public court of appearance. It's just, what is going on in America, my friend? And yeah, the implications for Canada are mind-boggling, especially with the guy running the show up here right now. It's a scary situation we find ourselves in.
Absolutely. It's, having lived in the United States, I've seen the political climate on both sides of the border. So I see a lot of similarities. I see a lot of differences. And I think I need to summarize them maybe in this way, Barry, to really make it apparent for Canadian folks specifically, because I really started to get turned off by what I was hearing and seeing. And I've never been politically involved. I never really cared for it. I just kind of kept, call it a half eye open with all of this, but paid attention to what was going on. And I honestly, this whole PC thing and political correctness to me is just an absolute misnomer of a term. To me, it just gives somebody the opportunity to actually lie boldly into your face and get away with it. So I've never been part and parcel to something like this. And I have to say, having seen what went on with previous administrations down there, obviously with President Trump's situation now, and the mainstream media and their lies and propaganda, I hope that as part of this show and other things that are happening across our country, is they get awakened to the fact that they've been lied to for so long by mainstream media. I just want to say, I hope very, very soon that we have a leader and a party in this country that cares about the Canadian citizens first and foremost in all the decisions, just like President Trump is doing for his people down in the States, because this is an absolute debacle, what is going on in Canada. I can't say it any more plain than that.
Yeah, I at this point in my life, I can't say that I've ever been as much fear for the future of my country as I am right now. And the snake is getting incredible power and it's growing every day. But in the same mouthful, Rob, I see people like you coming out of starting to rise. I see Canadians starting to do podcasts, new people coming online all the time, speaking their voice. And I'm glad today that I was able to bring you on here and introduce you to people and get them to go to your site, which I'll get you to share with us at the end of the show. But I do see a rise right now in Canadians becoming super aware and super pissed off. What you got to do, Rob, and I tell everybody on every show that I do now, go up and get yourself a Trudeau for prison in 2018 and put it on and wear it in public, Rob, because, you know, in our country right now, it provides people. This is the best $25 I've ever spent in my life. Actually, I bought four of them now, so I can wear one every day of the week. I got a red one and a black one and a white one and a blue one. But anyways, yeah, but you know what, bud? It sounds corny, and I talk about it all the time, but it is the best social experiment I've ever had, because I give people a neutral platform, whether they're white, black, green, red, Jews, Catholics, Protestants, Buddhists, it doesn't matter. We're all peed to be on the fact of being peed, and it gives people a neutral platform to express their rage. Henceforth, it starts lots of conversations. So go get one and wear it in public, and you'll find out what the Canadian public is thinking about our prime minister. The biggest problem we got, we can't get him out till the next election, and how much damage he's going to do between now and then, it could take us a generation to fix. You talked on your videos. Let's talk about the Conservative Party for a few minutes.
Sure.
I am kind of sat back here in the last couple, 3 weeks and really listened to what Maxime Bernier is saying. And I've listened to Andrew Scheer talk. And right now, I think it's a real blessing for Canada to have a third legitimate party rise in parliament, in politics, where now we're going to have two conservative voices being heard by the public, because they're not going to be able to shut him up. He's going to be heard. You're also going to hear Andrew Scheer talk, and you're going to hear Justin Trudeau talk, and whoever else wants to get their opinion in. But those are the three main players. What I think it's going to do, Rob, regardless of whether you like Scheer or Bernier, irrelevant. The fact that we now have two legitimate conservative parties in politics now in Canada, I think will guarantee that Mr. Butthead doesn't get a majority government in the next federal election. And that I could live with, as long as we don't have agendas being rammed down our throat like we have in the last 4 years. What's going on in my country, man, it just absolutely boggles me. Just it's why Canadians aren't walking on the streets with pitchforks or guns right now, walking to their elected representative's office and demanding their voice being heard. I don't know. Is it lack of testicles in Canadian people? Sometimes I think that, you know, I honestly feel that way sometimes, Rob, because, you know, right now, buddy, you know, and I know the urgency of the situation we're facing. It's not just here in Canada. We're seeing the same agenda being played out all over the planet. And my biggest challenge and our biggest challenge right now as people that are really, really kind of concerned about the future is trying to reach people's heart. And they're starting to listen now. I'm starting to see a lot of response, and I see you're getting quite a few views on your podcast. So kudos to you, my friend. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, Barry, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of people, you know, beginning podcasts or blogs or whatever it is that they're doing in order to, as I would call it, I guess, awaken people. And the term that always seems to come to me is this one that's been for far too long, the laid back Canadian. And I really honestly detest that term because it connotates to me, we're almost easy to just walk over. And I don't like that connotation whatsoever. I'd like to think that we are the kind of nation who the people here are very giving. They're very open. We tend to be, call it more nice. But the fact is sometimes more nice allows, let's say, certain elements into a country, or let's say, as we're seeing with the Liberal Party, and really they're the puppets, in my view, of the master puppeteers, you know, as part of a globalist agenda. And we can certainly throw out names, and actually coming up on my, you know, I'll be recording a couple of episodes today. And in fact, and typically I've sort of done about one every week and a half or so since I started the podcast. But because of what's been going on, and I see such a, what I call it, a devolving of Canada and so many other countries, I felt like this week I just needed to write a couple of episodes. And interestingly enough, the next one that I'll be recording is about George Soros. And my family, interestingly enough, has a very long history with George Soros and his family because my mom came from the same country as he does, Hungary. And so there's a very, very generational type of knowledge base that I have with this individual. And so I felt, because he seems to have his hand in so many pies, as I would call the middleman of the elitist families, you know, he's the so-called economic and immigration advisor to Justin Trudeau, which to me makes me choke, because I know, I mean, even his own country has him labeled as an enemy of the state, along with a number of other countries. So this is the kind of thing people need to become aware of. And unfortunately, going back to mainstream media, you either don't hear the facts of the story or you never get the story at all. And this is, I think, really the reason, you know, yourself, myself, and so many others are starting these podcasts, in order to try and get the information out that's truthful, so people finally get it and understand it and stop being the laid-back Canadians and take the time to, you know what? You need to call your local MPs. You need to get into groups of other like-minded people who are just sick and tired of all that's been going on. And we need to get our country not only back to a much better place, but to a place that's a lot better than it's ever been. And, you know, and certainly there's a lot to say about what could potentially happen now that Max Bernier has kind of severed off into his own party and such. And that's certainly something I'm looking into. And hopefully once I have, let's say, some more facts that I can bring to the table in that regard. And I just keep telling people in my podcast, look, what we have as a current governing body in Ottawa is not doing anything for the Canadian people and has no intention to. It's been a bevy of lies since the debates prior to the Liberals being elected into power. And it's been just one thing after another. And, you know, I did my fifth and sixth episode specifically on Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party. And I just naturally had a sense that they would be the most viewed podcasts. And they certainly turned out to be that way. And, you know, and I want people to take that information, because the mantra of my show specifically is do your own research. I you know, I don't want them to take anything that I say as the gospel. I want them to hear it, take it to heart, and go, oh, okay, well, I've heard that. And you know what? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to start doing my own research so they can form an informed opinion, not just something that somebody else told them or they heard through mainstream media, which is nothing but that lie and propaganda that they've been hearing for so long.
Yeah, exactly. I urge people the same thing all the time. We're just kind of the messenger right now, passing a message on, but you got to go do your own research. You just got to spend a couple hours on the internet and look at exactly what the Liberal government has done since they've come to power, I don't see anything in the list that this government has done that's been beneficial to the Canadian people. Not one single thing since the Liberals have come to power. I have seen a government that has pushed Islam right to the max. I see a government giving terrorists $10.5 million of our money. I see a government sending billions of dollars of our children's money overseas to support nations that are absolutely involved with radical Islam. I can't pull up the names. I'm going to get you to run by the names of the people that are actually sitting in our parliament right now that have, there's 11 altogether that are in there that have direct ties to Hamas or the Muslim Brotherhood or CARE or radical Islam organization. Can you run those names by me? Because you have a better memory. I can't pronounce those names, so I'm going to let you do that. Okay, Rob. I have a hard time with those names, buddy. Honest to God. It's like, anyways. Let's talk about that for a few minutes and the actual influence right now in Canada, how these tentacles are growing, man. Sure. And then we got Linda Salazar coming. Yahoo!
Oh yes, Linda Sarsour. Yeah,
she's
a wonder of nature, that one. Yeah. I mean, it would take 2 minutes at most in order for anyone to pull up her name and to find out that she has ties to, I mean, I don't even know how many terrorist groups, and the vast majority of individuals within her family are in prison in the Middle East for terrorist activities. So this woman has no credibility. I did happen, of course, to see, like a lot of other people on the internet, probably a week and a half or so ago, that she was coming to Toronto to speak in a sponsored event, and considering, you know, Christian conservative views and such are being canceled, these types of talks. And of course, we understand that this era of free speech in the Justin Trudeau world has almost been completely eliminated in terms of conservative and Christian views and so on. And hence, was it Bill M103, the non-binding motion, which was brought forth that you can't condemn Islam. So they use the term Islamophobia, which in my world, that word doesn't even exist, really. So there's no sense of real free speech in Canada anymore. And, you know, the individuals that you were mentioning, the 11, I don't have them all in front of me, but I can mention three of them right off the top of my head. And the one that comes to mind first and foremost is the immigration minister, Ahmed Hassan. Well, you know, he actually has ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and sits on a board, as I recall, in the U.S. under the CAIR, C-A-I-R, which is a well-known Muslim Brotherhood front for terrorist groups. And Ikra Khalid, who brought forth the M103 non-binding motion, has also ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. And the third one that comes to mind, I believe his name is Olga Al-Ghabra, I believe it is. Right. And so these three figure prominently in all of this, along with the eight others. And you have to obviously question, when we have so many cabinet ministers, and I'll be the first to say to anybody, look, my parents immigrated to Canada. I have nothing against immigration whatsoever, as long as it's legal immigration and you fit the criteria that's been set out for years and years. For you to be an illegal immigrant, and in the case of Justin Trudeau and his so-called ISIS reintegration, you know, we can talk about that all day long. There is no such thing as reintegration. And I actually happened to post something a few months ago, and it was on Facebook, and from there it was disseminated by a lot of other people, thankfully, that I felt from my research that really the real underlying story of the reintegration was actually to set up the terrorist sleeper cells in Canada. And it was interesting because about 5 days later, an entire story, multiple stories came out, not only in Canada about this, it came out across the United States as well. So it just led to that much more credibility in terms of what I had researched and what I felt was actually the underlying story. So it's really a shame to think that we have cabinet ministers who Many of them were not born in Canada. I mean, they're really, their affiliations are still to their home countries. So, you know, what do we do about this sort of thing? And I wish that we could actually literally just kick them out the door right now, but we know we can't do that. So we just have to continue letting people know of what's really going on here, and whether they choose to believe or not, certainly that's their free will either way. But hopefully, if we can change one person to see the reality of everything, that they'll turn around and do exactly the same as we're attempting to do here.
Yeah, it should be the conversation at everybody's dinner table right now, what's going on in their country, and hopefully that'll start to happen. But I do, like I said, in my communications and the groups I'm involved in Canada and all the groups that are standing against the government, I see the numbers growing in leaps and bounds and all those numbers. I see new podcasters coming online all the time, voicing their opinion. We only have a limited window of opportunity to actually really get our act together and stop this, because we know what's going on in Canada right now. We know we could virtually be in a state of the War Measures Act if the United States goes into a state of martial law, which I believe right now, I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but it's a real possibility given in light of what's just going on right now in the States with the sealed indictments that are going to be opened, the FISA documents that are going to be opened. It is going to expose to all Americans just who is involved and how corrupt this is. I believe that military tribunals are a possibility. And if that be the case, then you'll see the United States in a state of martial law, which will automatically trigger Canada to the War Measures Act. And that happens, and things could change in a way that we'll never see them back to what they were before. What do you think of that thought process? Right now, America is at a tipping point, man. They are in a very, very precarious situation. It's uncharted grounds when these indictments are opened and all this information is made public. It's going to create chaos in the States. What do you think?
I absolutely see that on a daily basis, and I see the heightening of it every single day, because we understand in political parties that there are always factions that are, you know, let's just say a little more extreme than others. And in the case of the Democratic Party, their entire narrative happens to be to try and eliminate the First Amendment along with the Second Amendment, and basically render the Constitution of the United States as a piece of paper that never existed. And, you know, I can understand greatly, because I do have sources in Washington, D.C. that certainly give me a lot of information that the general public never hear within the mainstream media. And it's very unsettling, because you have an individual like Donald Trump, love him or hate him, and usually people hate him because they don't actually know anything about him and they've heard a lot of false stories. This man is going up against an establishment of politicians and corporations and the globalists who have been forever entrenched in a place that really is so corrupt, to try and change things in a day or a week or whatever. I mean, what he's done in his short period of time, honestly, is an absolute miracle that he's done what he's done. But he has a big fight against him. Certainly you see what the Democratic Party has been doing with the Brett Kavanaugh hearings and that nomination. They're always going to continue to look for ways in order to wrest control from the Senate, the House, anything that allows them the opportunity to do what they've been doing for a very long time, that comes from the previous Obama and Clinton administrations, even through the Bush administration, where a lot of this actually originated. So he's upset the apple cart, and I hope, from what I'm seeing, is because there's been such a push for the Second Amendment to just be eliminated completely, and they're always talking about, like, you know, automatic weapons and so on. There are already a lot of laws in place in order to detract from those types of situations. But the fact is, you know, guns don't kill people. People kill people, and that's the way it goes. And I'm seeing a lot of people, because of what the Democrats specifically are doing to eliminate the Second Amendment, you're having people who never, ever would have thought about going out and purchasing a gun who are doing so, because martial law, if that gets instituted, you're going to see civilian militias rise up against individuals or parties or a specific party in order to ensure that their liberties, rights, and freedoms will always be there. And I would hate to have to see it get to that point, but given what's going on and the desperation that the Democratic Party is showing, it's a very, very likely possibility that could happen there. And inevitably, what happens down in the States might get delayed typically in Canada, but it usually spills over to us, and it would happen here as well.
Barry, are you muted?
Oh, you know what, guys? I was muted. That's not very good, is it? I wanted to talk, and I realized I was muted, and Steve said, hey, Barry, you're muted. I do that because it stops background noise from coming in. Yes, I agree with you. I'm going to talk about Trump for a couple minutes. I'll agree with you, Rob, that he has done some incredible things in the United States of America as far as the economy goes. He's brought a lot of business back to the States. It looks like they've got them back on track. But, you know, this old saying goes that if something is too good to be true, then it's probably not true. And whether Trump is actually involved in the globalist agenda, I have to stand off, because I always believe that there is a giant charade being played on people. And he could very well be part of this giant charade. What the end game is, I'm not exactly sure, but he's garnishing a lot of attention. His speech at the United Nations this week would resonate with any true patriot. So I'm always stay outside the box. I like a lot of things he did. I love his speech this week. I love a lot of things he's doing. But is there an end game? Is he working the American public to an end game, is my question. And I always have to stay outside the box when they look at these situations, because it's really easy to get drawn into it. Same thing with Maxime Bernier and his new party. I love a lot of things he's saying. I love his platform. I like a lot of things that man is saying. But in the same mouthful, we have to make sure we stay outside looking in all the time. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, his speech at the United Nations this week, it had to resonate. Anybody that listened to that speech, it has to resonate with them.
Absolutely. And you know, like you, Barry, I'm an outsider to the situation. So does anybody really have the full details of, you know, who he is, what he's doing, what the end game is, and so on? No, only he knows at this point. But I think that if I would say something to the audience is that, rather than just taking the words that we're saying here today and mainstream media is throwing out there, just take everything with a grain of salt. And you have to keep going back to doing your own research and try and actually look past, I believe, what I would call surface information. And he's an individual who's a businessman. He's not a politician per se. And I believe that's a good thing, because this is not about political correctness. This is about a guy who's spent the last, call it 50 years of his life in a business world, negotiating with others. And to him, I think it really comes down to a game of sorts, because he's so used to being across the table with individuals, with corporations, and now in this case, countries, where he's negotiating. So I believe he has a really good grasp of people as personalities go. So when you hear this or that in the media, you just, again, have to take it with a grain of salt to go, well, I'm hearing this, but is that 100% accurate? Well, I don't know. I try and look past a lot of these things without knowing 100% for sure what eventually will come about, especially when we talk about the situation with NAFTA and such. I find it very funny that Canada and the so-called representatives are going in there, and the first thing they do in NAFTA negotiations is call him names. Well,
they sure poked him.
Explain to me how that is a tactic that would work anywhere. You know, this guy is so well read. He's done this more than the rest of the negotiating committee of Canada combined. So, you know, he's not going to be pushed. He's not, I mean, to him, calling him names, it's laughable. And, you know, I look at this, and to me, it's just an atrocity in terms of forwarding Canada in this way. And a NAFTA deal, we know, whatever it actually works out to be, naturally we want it to be a win-win-win situation for all three countries. It should be that way. But if you're going in this case, in my view, an endgame with the Liberal Party that we don't care about Canada and that's their philosophy. Well, they're doing exactly, I guess, what they need to do then is just to tick everybody off. But it's 37 million Canadians who suffer the consequences of your stupidity and your lack of intelligence. So I certainly hope that if we're talking about NAFTA specifically, that this is something that will work itself out and that the negotiating committee comes to the table with an open mind and also an open heart to sit down and have a full discussion about what works for everybody and what doesn't work for everybody in order to bring this to a good conclusion. Because as you mentioned earlier, Barry, I haven't seen one thing the Liberal Party has done in almost 3 years that has been of a benefit to Canada. This country's been ripped apart by everything that they've done.
There's nothing in there for Canadians. And boy, if we don't get an agreement on NAFTA, the economic repercussions in Canada are going to affect Canadians in ways they just don't understand, that our country is being absolutely destroyed economically right now. Our economic engine is being dismantled, and we are going to be in a situation that, I'll tell you, man, then people are going to start screaming, Rob, and then they're going to say, hey, wait a second, something's wrong. Boy, I'll tell you, the damage being done right now by this government's going to take years and years to fix. I can't believe what's going on with this NAFTA agreement, that we would poke our nearest trading partner in the eye and tell them that we're not going to agree to anything unless you have cultural diversity involved. I mean, give me a break. Would you go ahead? I want to puke, man.
You know, I saw, to me, it was like, call it a public service announcement, whatever you want to call it, ad by the Liberal Party in terms of gender equality yesterday on social media. And it was all scripted, of course, but the message being put forth there really had nothing to do with anything to benefit actual gender equality or Canada as a whole, which ultimately, if you're going to go back to NAFTA and you're going to talk specifically about gender equality being the big part of that particular deal, then you obviously have never even spent 1 second reading what NAFTA, the original deal, looked like. It had nothing to do with that. So, you know, I don't know where they get their information from other than pulling it out of their rear end, because that's not a helpful, place to pull it from. So,
well, everything they talk about comes out of their butts, man. I'm not kidding you. How else can you tell? How else can you describe it? I mean, we could talk about issue after issue after issue. We could talk about the border. We could talk about, we could talk about what just happened on the Danforth a couple months ago. We could talk about the 42 kilograms of pentanyl that was seized in the brother of the Danforth shooter's house. And the handguns and his connections to CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah, there is sleeper cells right now in Canada, and they are being protected by our government. If people don't believe that, really, you just take a look at New Mexico and that compound that was raided and how that was destroyed, hushed, and brushed under the rug, man. If you don't think those cells exist right now in Canada, then you really, really do have your head in the sand, because they do. And when the word says go, watch out, guys.
Absolutely. You know, this is the thing, you know, and I talk to a lot of people on a personal basis. I'm just a regular guy. I never, ever expect to do something like a podcast. And, you know, having a family and a lot of friends, you understand the concern of what's going on. And unfortunately, there are still too many people out there who literally are like the ostrich sticking their head in the sand. They just don't want to hear. They don't want to know. They literally just, at the end of the day, just lock the door behind them and hope that nobody happens to break into their house. Just please leave me alone. Well, that kind of inaction and that desire not to want to know actually helps the other side conduct whatever it wants to do, whether we talk about the sleeper cells or having the Liberal government just try and secretly pass whatever they want to pass in order to make sure that come the next election that they get in with rigging or whatever it is. And there's certainly a lot of information from the 2015 election that's piling up now to state that there was a rigging of that election. So
yep.
People need to get out there and, you know what, stop being the ostrich with the head in the sand. You need to do at least a little bit of something. If that only means calling your local MP and getting informed about what's going on and what they're doing or what they're not doing and so on, I think it's imperative to all Canadian citizens to take part in this, because to me, I talked about this with family many a times. It's like Canada has no problem getting together, all 37 million of us, when the World Junior Hockey Championships are on. And we're like, you know, all the fans in the seats, and we're cheering our guys and, you know, to the gold medal. But when something like this comes along, it's like everybody sits on the sideline and there isn't any cheering. There might be some ill-informed opinions that get thrown around, but we need to be more of the Canadian Junior Hockey Championship cheerleaders with this thing, because these people, we're talking about 184 Liberal MPs controlling 37 million Canadians. Explain to me how that number beats our number.
Yeah, like I said earlier in the show, where are the Canadian men? Where are Canadians that can take an hour or 2 hours out of their day and look at this, because it's going to impact our futures in ways that I don't even want to talk about today. It's beyond my realm of comprehension what's going on in this country. But I say the same thing to myself every day. What is it going to take to get the general Canadian population, the men that are going out and working every day that love their families to death, would kill to protect their children? How do we get through to them that right now this is probably the most important issue they've ever dealt with in their life? The hockey game doesn't mean poop. The football game doesn't mean poop. It's just a mass distraction. It's, you know, you keep them entertained. You keep them looking over here and they won't look over there. Well, we've really got to start looking over there. And that's my message to people every day. I don't know how else to put it to people, that if you don't get involved right now, you know, you're going to regret it. You are really going to really, really regret it. And, you know, there's an old saying, and it's so true, that silence is consent. And mm-hmm. If you don't take the time as a responsible person that loves your family, loves them to death, wants to protect them no matter what happens. And most people out here listening to this show right now would resonate with that thought, that we love our families, that I would kill to protect my children. I know anybody that has children would do the exact same thing. And yet we're looking at a menace right now that is going to put our society in a situation that I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I go, why can't people just sit and look at what's going on? Because if we raise our voice in mass, we can stop it. But if we don't stop it here soon, Rob, that window's going to close on us, and we can see it all being played out right now. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And I point this out in every show that I've recorded thus far, and it will always be a mantra of the show, of go in and take action, do your own research, get involved in your local area, and get informed, because there's way, way too much incorrect information out there, too much lies and propaganda. You have to get informed before you can do something properly. But the fact is, you don't have to have all the answers, but you have to be willing to do something, because that motion in and of itself creates people and resources and truth coming out of the woodwork. And that's what I've noticed, because before I started the show, again, I really wasn't sure, like, what should I really talk about that makes sense to people and that's relevant to people, until it finally came around to all of this and just bringing clarity and truth to subjects that are vitally important, not only to
I'm going to put a shout out there today to somebody that's involved in the gaming industry that can make us a new game. And I want to make up a game about the situation in Canada right now. And, of course, Mr. Trudeau would be one of the players, and all the other puppets would be players. And maybe project to these children that all they do is sit and play these games. Maybe we could make something that they would actually listen to, because I see such an epidemic in our society and the young people of addiction to these games. It's just unbelievable. My son knows now that things are going south. But he has this addiction, and it is mm-hmm. a gaming addiction. And I've talked to him about it. You know, How else, how do you get through to these people? It's such a powerful form of mind control, and these young people just cannot see it. That's one of the biggest challenges I think we have right now, is to get through to the young people that these gaming systems and all these games that they're involved in are just absolutely a total distraction from really getting them involved, interacting socially, which I see as a major problem in young people, and really start to look at what's going on around them, because if we get them involved, we get the millennials involved, we could see drastic changes in our society. There is a publication called The Postmillennial, and I do support that publication. And Ali, one of the producers over there, has told me that his population of readers, they've been watching the numbers here in the last 3 or 4 months. And when they first started the publication about a year ago, they had 7% of the population of paying attention to the station were millennials, and now that number's at about 38% of the reading public is millennials. So you're seeing a huge shift in the young people. They're starting to pay attention to what's going on around them. Those are the ones we really got to get them out of school, man. Number one, you got to get your kids out of school, because if you don't, they're done, man. Yeah. I'm standing against SOGI 123, just like a lot of people. And it's just another example of the agendas that are being put into our school for our children. It's unbelievable what's going on. We don't have enough time today to talk about that. That's a subject for a show all by itself, but it's just part of the agenda. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I can speak to that too, because of the fact that, my kids and certainly their friends fit into that millennial group, and they're very not informed. And so anytime I have the opportunity to speak to them directly, face to face, or any format that I'm allowed to, I ask them questions, because there's a lot of smart kids out there. And this whole aspect of your smartphone or your Xbox, PlayStation, whatever it is, they're all very much divisive tactics in order to keep you away from really growing in the sense that you're supposed to, much like you and I grew up in an age where we didn't have computers and smartphones and I would call it the diversionary things in order to keep us from being in the know. We were outside typically and doing stuff. And I have a great appreciation for that sort of thing. But when I have that opportunity to speak to the millennial group or an elderly group or so on, I want to hear what they have to say. I want to hear what they know about a particular subject. And if they don't, it's an opportunity in order to fill them in on some things and have them disseminate that information. Because let's face it, they're all about like social connections. And if you can get them on board with the facts on something, they're ready to just put that out there to their connections on whatever social media platform that they're on. And this is something that is a major point of focus for me to do, is because I know the extension that these kids have. And it's not a means to take advantage of it, but it's a means to bring everybody together in the way that I believe people should be together, and that we are inherently good. Unfortunately, there's elements out there that are not that way. So we have to combat that in doing whatever we need to do and ensure that Canada never becomes a third world country Sharia law welfare state.
Okay, I got a question from chat here. If politics is the problem and the system is so corrupt, how can we expect to solve it via politics? Question to you. Question for the guests.
Well, I break down politics into the Latin form of poly, meaning medi, and tix, meaning blood-sucking creatures. So that kind of gives you sort of an indicator of how I've sort of looked at politics for a very, very long time. But, Chad, I don't think that there is a perfect answer for everything. Politics for so long has unfortunately created people to be very jaded about the idea that we could ever change things for the better. And that's incorrect. We obviously can. The problem, I believe, is what Barry and I were talking about earlier, is that people don't get involved to the degree that they need to get involved, because these individuals are people we voted in, okay? Whether we voted for the Liberal Party in this case or whomever, that was the choice that the individual made at that time. Now, again, no person and no party is perfect, but there are other better options, and it's imperative for citizens that once you vote – and you have a certain party or an individual get in, let's say your local area MP, you need, as an individual, to stay on top of these individuals because they work for us, okay? We are their employer. They are our employee. And if you allow, if we, 37 million Canadians, allow 184 individuals to take advantage of us every single day, and we just sit back and go, oh, well, and we throw our hands up in the air as if nothing can be done. Well, you know what? You just played to their hand, to a bunch of individuals who are no better than you. In fact, you're probably better than they are. So people need to take a stance with this and take responsibility and ownership of the fact that you voted these people in, and you need to stay on top of them to make sure that they are putting Canadians first in every decision that's ever made. And that's kind of my take on that.
Yeah, well, you know, I urge people to do that here in Terrace, and people are, but Nathan Cullen, my local MP, won't even give me a talk anymore, because the last time I talked to him, I got right in his face, and I don't think he liked the fact that I was aware of a few things that he didn't think I was aware of, and I put it right on the table for him, and he didn't have too much to say to me. He really didn't. He was kind of like an NDP, and he was dumbfounded, so I've asked for another meeting with him, but he's well aware. People do have to get involved. You have to get involved at the local level. You have to go run for your city council, because if you don't, these people with ill intentions are going to take every advantage of that situation. If people get involved at the local level, it can ripple right through our society. And Ron Stevens, a friend of mine, talks about that a lot, and it is really something that people should embrace.
Absolutely. It's, you know, again, I was never politically involved in any way. I was asked many times to run for the mayor of my hometown and such, and I just laughed at those types of, you know, comments. But I'm finally at the point where I understand the reasoning behind those kinds of things were said to me or to others, because they felt like a person like myself, who has always been about the people, it's always been about the team. I grew up an athlete for many, many years, so it's always been about the team. And my heart is for the people of Canada, you know, and the people of the United States and everywhere, because this, obviously, we have our bevy of problems in Canada, but we should be plenty aware of what's going on across the border and around the world, because it's all an interaction. And whether we want to say whatever is going on halfway around the world doesn't affect us, it does. And people just need to understand, they have to step up to the plate. It's not like you're alone in this process and you don't have to do it all. It's everybody doing a little bit in order to come together as a collective. And that collective has such synergy and power and intellect and resources. That's ultimately how we combat, let's just use the word evil, in my view, with all of this. And I hope people, as they hear this show and speak with others about it, this is really what it boils down to. And if you don't do your part, you may as well just join the other side. And I don't think that's a side you want to be on.
Yeah, well, evil is running wild in our society, and the devil is having his day right now. And me being a person of religious faith, I see what's going on in my world. And, of course, I correlate it with what I see going on with world events. And, yeah, we're in a lot of trouble. Our society has reached a depth of immorality that I never thought I would see in my lifetime. We see the same thing going on all over the world. We see the normalization of pedophilia. We see the thousands of people now being exposed in pedophilia. We see how deep the roots are tied into all government agencies. We see people like our prime minister, who had direct ties to a gentleman, was a friend with a gentleman named Christopher Engleton.
Mm-hmm.
Now a convicted pedophile. He was also very, very good friends with Ben Levine, who also brought out the new sex education program in Ontario under the Kathleen Wynne government, which is the most intrusive, barbaric, sinful, evil sex education program I've ever looked at in my life. But these people all seem to have a common link back to one theme, and I don't know how else to describe it, but the devil being personified on our planet, because the exposure now of all this child pedophilia around the world is, it's just absolutely mind-boggling. It really is. It's opening people's eyes to what really is going on behind the scenes. With these indictments and all this other stuff that's coming out, I believe we're in for a very, very interesting time here in the next couple months, Rob. A very interesting time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, just to all the listeners today and, you know, from here on out, I just hope that you take everything that we've been talking about today. And obviously it's a minor scope in terms of all the stuff that's going on out there. But I think the point being is you just have to get involved on a larger scale than you have been before and just become aware of everything that's going on. And, you know, I wish that there was something that we could do in order to eliminate the Liberal Party right now and just really institute the kinds of people that really are the heart and soul people who have our interests first always and be able to do the types of things that we need to do as a nation that everybody benefits, because everybody can benefit. And if there are those out there who are completely jaded to that idea, well, I'm sorry that you feel that way, because there are always solutions to any problem. May not happen overnight, but as long as you focus attention and you take actions, it's interesting how good solutions eventually come about. So hopefully the listeners will adhere to that and do their part.
Got to say hello to Kelly Elizabeth in the chat room. She's just an amazing woman. She really is. And doing a lot to support the movement and getting behind people like you and me. So hi, Kelly. Anyways, yeah, you know what? I actually get into tears a lot in my thoughts now. I really do, because I see what's coming from my children. And myself, I have to fight this with every ounce of energy that I've got at this particular point in my life, because nothing is more important. I mean, who cares if you got a new car or a nice house? If we're not going to be able to live in a country that is going to give our children some of the stuff that we enjoyed growing up, then I say shame on you folks. It's your legacy that you're leaving behind. We're leaving them a pile of crap that they didn't deserve to deal with. And right now, the most important things we can do in our life is to try and get people to open up and look. You got to look inside your heart. You got to look in front of the mirror. You got to look at yourself and say, hey, if this stuff is really, really going on the way we're talking about it today, then it's your absolute duty to look at it. Because if you don't, your children are going to curse you. I don't know how else to say it to people, Rob. I really don't.
Absolutely.
We're in dangerous, dangerous times, guys.
Yeah, and I agree with you fully, Barry. I've never seen anything like what's going on in my lifetime. You know, I've had these personal conversations with family and friends about, like, end times prophecy. And, you know, whether a person is a believer or not, you know, certainly that's their free will in any way to do that. And I'm all about free speech and free will. But having been down that road and having a lot of personal experiences to get us to this point and to see what's going on, I wish I could say it's going to get better. And in a lot of ways, I believe it will, but there are going to be certain things that will get worse. And then unless people do come together and decide to make that effort in order to make things better, then we're just going to be the bystanders that are actually going to get rolled over on. And I don't take part in that. I'm not that kind of personality type. And I've said this many a times to people, if I have to go down to my dying breath in order to protect my family and friends and my country, I will absolutely do that. Amen. I'm not afraid of death. So, you know, I have an understanding, I think, to a degree of what the end game plan is supposed to be about, and I will do whatever I can myself and with however many patriots that were willing to come on board, and we'll fight this until the very end.
Absolutely, buddy. We're down the last couple minutes of the show here. I've enjoyed this conversation immensely, but why don't you share with people where they can find you and follow what you're doing?
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you very much, Barry and Steve, for having me on. A great honor for me and much appreciated. But for anybody who has not heard of my particular show, it's quite new. And you can find me on my YouTube channel at So Not PC Podcast with Rob Adamus. That's spelled A-D-O-M-U-S. And you can also see the videos, the podcasts at my website, www.sonotpcpodcast.com.
If you want to stick around for the next hour, you're welcome to do that, Rob. I got Jürgen joining me. There's a couple questions in the chat. If you do want to stick around for a little bit of the second hour, you're welcome to do so. We're going to take a break here for about 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and I'll be back with Jürgen Wolrath, and we can continue this conversation. Like I said, you're welcome to stay around, but if you want, there is a couple questions in chat here that people are asking, and I don't have time in this hour to do it, so that's up to you, but you're welcome to stay, and we'll be back, guys, in about 3 or 4 minutes. Well, welcome back a second hour here, joking with these guys, get me going here. Jürgen Wolrath has joined me for the second hour, and you know what, I've had Jürgen on a couple times now. It's one guy I just really enjoy having conversations with, for one of his level of intelligence, his involvement in human rights councils and other things he's been involved in this lifetime. Pleasure to have him on. Thanks, Jürgen, for taking time out today and having a chat with me. And Rob has also stuck around from the first hour. Rob, thanks for hanging in. And there was a couple questions in chat that I wanted to give Rob right away, just before I get Jürgen going here, because once I get him going, you can't stop him. but that's a good thing, folks. That's why I like having him in, because I don't have to talk a lot. Anyways, what do you think about a snap election, Rob? One question in chat here that Kelly wanted to put through to you.
Snap election.
I'll get Jürgen's opinion on the same question.
Sure. You know, I'm paying very close attention to that because there's a lot of rumors about that happening. And I actually talked to kind of the inner circle about this a couple of days ago, if this was to happen. I had my own take on it without, of course, really knowing 100% for sure. If he's about to call a snap election, I felt like that there were two reasons for that. And there's one main one, but the second one had to do with not giving the Conservative Party, NDP, and any other party the opportunity to have a campaign trail in right. order to say what they needed to say about specific topics and so on. You know, we've been down that road with them continually about changing things completely in their favor to ensure that the citizens of Canada don't get to hear fully what they need to hear for the next election. The other side of that was what I think is the main one. Now, of course, this is just plain theory, and this is based upon some research of mine, is that the Liberal Party and Justin Trudeau specifically are so closely tied to George Soros that this is not an uncommon situation that has happened in other countries as well. And it seems to have always come around to sort of one main reason that it happens is because a rigging of an election. And that, in my view, Justin Trudeau has been promised that no matter what happens, that it's already been rigged in his favor through George Soros's voting machines, whatever avenues they have to do in order to get him back in at the bare minimum as a minority party. And I'm finding some things where George Soros has ties to the NDP party as well. So there, you know, I'm just going to throw that out there to people. Again, I don't have 100% facts at this point. It's in research mode. But what I'm finding thus far, those two reasons alone would be the reason for a snap election.
Jürgen?
Well, just to kick in and follow through on what Rob is saying, and you know what, I totally agree on number one. There will be no time for the opposition to mount a valid opposition, for sure, if he does call this snap election, which wouldn't surprise me at all. depending on what the Soros machine, like Rob so eloquently stated, has already set up in terms of what the future of this country is going to be. His ramping up of Soros-initiated objectives is obvious in all of Western civilization. I think we see it everywhere. We saw it on full display with the Kavanaugh hearings, and we certainly are seeing it in the political conjecture that is happening in our country. When you look at where we are in terms of the depth of initiation that I would say that Trudeau stepped into when he gained power. When he got power, he stepped right into it and he used all the forces of the left that were available to him with a defeated Democratic Party in the United States. They leapt onto him. And I think, like Rob says, We've never seen, I don't think we've ever seen this kind of influence. I know we've always had foreign influence, but the Clinton Foundation, with its annual report that had its pedophile symbol on the cover, is a hidden entity in this country that, again, is just like the Clinton Foundation. It's just like all those other criminal foundations that launder money. And now we see a prime minister that is just stuffing that foundation full of foreign donations. And my question would be this to Rob and to you, Barry. Where is our justice system in terms of digging into who affected our last election? We see this mess going on.
Why are those questions being asked? Why aren't they being asked?
With Mueller, they're going after Trump with full cannons blazing to get some kind of Russian collusion over their election, when we know damn full well that this Canadian election was completely tampered with the last time. Where's our investigation? Where's CSIS? Where's the RCMP? Where's the people responsible for the Canadian citizens?
Good question. You got an answer for that one, Rob? Because I don't. I do, but I don't.
Well, you know, I think that we can, you know, speculate until the cows come home. And the fact is, we probably in our discussion, which we could carry on for hours, we'd probably come to a pretty good conclusion as to what the real answer is. But, you know, it was interesting earlier this year as I was formulating the podcast, I actually phoned and emailed Judicial Watch down in the U.S., which is really a great oversight company down there who makes sure that parties, individuals, and so on are held accountable. And what I found out, having sat down with, you know, our local MPs and so on, that we do not have such an organization in Canada, which absolutely blew me away. I don't understand that. So I went so far as to kind of set, like, think a seed in motion with Judicial Watch. Well, what would you think of potentially beginning one of your branch organizations in Ottawa in order to oversee here? Or if you were not willing to do so, how about providing some information to me as to how best in order to put forth that kind of organization? Because to me, to absolutely have what Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party throws in our face every single day in the House of Commons, on television, and so on, that the wishes of the Canadian citizens in a particular subject. You know, I watched Andrew Scheer talk about the McClintock situation where the young girl was murdered, the 8-year-old girl. And the woman who perpetrated that was put into a, quote, healing lodge. Yeah. Well, explain this stuff to me, because this is not only beyond moronic, it's the evil forces just working together in order to allow things that in our commonsensical view as a person absolutely makes zero sense. So I believe that we, again, we're going back to the citizens, have to literally be our own watchdog, because we don't have an organization here to oversee 184 individuals just making a mockery of our political system and 37 million Canadians. So I would really love to be able to be within a group of individuals like we're here today in order to present ideas and provide it to the public to go, you know what? Get off your rear ends now. We've given you some ideas. Now go forth and get the ball rolling, because we're going to be absolutely annihilated if this continues on. And I'm sorry, I just can't take part in that. I need to be part of the solution, not the problem.
Absolutely. It boggles me that if you take time, if you take an hour and start looking at this stuff, if your blood does not start to boil, then you either cannot comprehend or you just absolutely don't care, because literally an hour research into the going-ons of the Trudeau government, a real honest hour, your blood should be boiling. And if that doesn't lead you on a journey of discovery and doesn't get you off your butt and get involved, then I say shame on you. Jürgen.
We've been fighting this kind of apathy for decades in this country, Barry, and that's the problem. You just hit the nail right on the head. And we discussed this for so long with so many people in the radio business that I was in, people that I talked to that I used to call into in Ottawa. It's the apathy of the public that is doing us in. The people only care about politics every 4 years, and then they vote for the prettiest face and who they're told to vote for by the lying, deceitful, manic press that would have you believe that, like political correctness, that you could actually pick up a turd by the clean end. These people are actually just so deranged. Rob, you nailed it. We're in a situation now. If Canadians don't get off their ass, we're going to lose it all. We're already in a situation where most people don't understand that this country was so deceived back in the 60s when I was deceived as a child, when I believed that Pierre Trudeau was the right thing. He was the answer. He deceived us so well. We didn't know he was in the Communist Party. We didn't know that he went to the London School of Economics where they teach Fabian eugenics. And I urge all the listeners, you got to get out there, get on the internet and understand what Fabians are, because we are ruled by the Fabian Society. They believe in eugenics. We're in a death culture. Look at how they're pushing abortion. Look at how they're pushing euthanasia. There's going to be more and more laws coming up. You know, we have euthanasia now for the elderly. Now it's going to be for the mentally ill. Now I just read an article where it's going to be for any teenager suffering depression. They might just decide to have the right to be able to finish that child and their depression without even telling the parents. The whole thing has gone so sideways. If we don't stand up now, we're going to lose it all. And we're going to be in a situation where we all end up in gulags if we have that differing opinion. You look at the lynching that was just done on Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, gulags. Let's talk about gulags for a minute, Rob. Talk about gulags for a sec.
Well, they were the political labor camps in the Soviet Union, and I believe I think the time frame was from somewhere around 1930 to 1955, if memory serves me in my research. And it basically comes down to what I'm seeing within the Canadian political and media culture now, is that if we have something to say, we're a racist. It doesn't matter what we say. We take into account, was it roughly about a month or so ago, that an elderly Quebec lady who spoke up, and when Trudeau was talking, and just simply asked the question, when are you going to pay back the $146 million that you took from Quebecers in order to give to illegal immigrants? Well, naturally, his always response for anything is racist. Racist, racist.
Yeah.
Well, explain to me, you know what? There comes a point when the term racist is just now so dumbed down to people, and that's typically what you do over time, is you just dumb them down to things to the point that they don't even listen anymore, and it just becomes a natural part of society. Well, the word racist for the left is that's their tool. You can't even say it. If you're a white man, you're naturally born a racist now. I'm like, what? What exactly are you talking about?
And colored people in the human race that are racist. Everybody else is allowed to have their pride. You're allowed to have black pride. You're allowed to have Asian pride. All of it is cherished and it's welcomed. You're allowed to have Islamic pride, but you're not allowed to have white pride, because then you're a white supremacist. And if you love your country and you're white, you're obviously a white nationalist. So the phrases that have come into play, the language that they use all the time is so diminishing to all of us on the right who cherish our families. We cherish the values that have brought this country to where it was, that brought us all the freedom that we have, that has been chipped away by this political correctness that is nothing but an affront to the freedoms that we all cherish. And like you said, Rob, and I agree with you, the racist thing, the Nazi thing, the thing that disturbs me the most about that, when he made that statement to that woman in Quebec, was the people that cheered for Trudeau. That is the most disgusting part of all of it.
That was despicable. That was despicable.
And you mentioned earlier.
You really see his arrogance, man. You can see his arrogance portrayed. Same thing when he had the meeting with the Indigenous leaders. His arrogance was all over the place. I mean, Canadians, guys, no. I mean, I share this opinion. I'm going to let you get right back to it, Rob, but I got to tell you, most people now that I talk to, I'm talking about 95% of the people I now talk to in general society, hate this man to the core. Go ahead, Rob. So the people are starting to pay attention. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a frightening thing to think that someone who really at the core of who he is a narcissist.
Yep.
And thinks that he has complete dominion over 37 million people. And this is, you know, and I wrote about this and talked about this in my fifth episode, specifically about Justin Trudeau. Here, I went through his so-called resume and what it takes to apparently become a prime minister in Canada. Now, I hope all the listeners certainly go there and listen in on this, because it's quite the thing. And then share it with others, because if somehow being a part-time snowboarder, a part-time bartender, a part-time drama teacher, and, you know, you flunked seventh grade and, you know, dropped out of university three times and all that stuff makes you the indelible resume for a prime minister, then I guess I'm overeducated. So, you know, it was just one of those things. This, every time I listen to this man open his mouth, I wish there was some way I could put my arm through my laptop and choke him to death.
I'm at a point, Rob, honestly, I am at a point where I get physically ill when I listen to him speak. I get a gag reaction. Go ahead, Jürgen.
I just want to add to what Rob just declared, and that's so true. And now think about this. When he's 24 years old, this failure, this guy who couldn't complete his university courses, who was a snowboard instructor, all this stuff, right? He was actually given $50 million to run Ketimovic so he could influence youth. So when he does run in politics years down the road, he's got his base already paid for by the Canadian taxpayer. By running Ketimovic and being the president of that organization at the age of 24, he was given that money and given that appointment without any competition, Rob. I called, I wrote letters, I wanted to find out, where was the competition to grant someone this position as president to influence the youth of this country? And this failure was given the $50 million. You look at any boy 24 years old and you say, there's no way that kid's getting $50 million to run any program, let alone to influence the youth of this country. But that just goes to show the depth of this program to have us all think that our voting counts, that it really matters. Look at this guy was groomed to be the PM without a word of opposition from anybody when that $50 million was given to him.
Yeah, spot on. And along came Gerald Butts.
It's disgusting.
Oh, man, I tell you, you know, how do we fix it, guys? I mean, sure, you know, the political system, the way it exists right now in Canada is not a good system. It doesn't work for the people. But right now, we're kind of at a crossroads. We can't fix the political system overnight. I believe we could fix it if people really became aware and people came together and wanted to change the system. But right now, we're kind of forced into a situation. We're either going to vote for conservatives or we're going to vote for liberals. And we know we're not going to vote for liberals. So we're kind of up against the wall. We got to play the devil's advocate in a way, but in the same mouthful, what I said earlier in the show, Jürgen, I think the rise of a second Canadian Conservative Party in Canadian politics will be a blessing because it will allow Canadians to hear various opinions on very vital subjects, and they're not going to be able to shut him up. He's going to get coverage. So we'll let the Canadian public decide. But to me, it definitely, if the Liberals get a minority, even if they were to get a minority in the next government, that would pretty well stop them from ramming stuff down our throats, unless, of course, the NDP come on board with them. But I can't see the NDP garnishing a lot of support in the next election based on what I just saw go down in New Brunswick. Go ahead. Well, just a few of my thoughts. Just a few of my thoughts.
You're right, Barrett. Well, I think where it starts, obviously, to me, is education. Our system of education, as we all know, I think, is turned into a system of indoctrination. We have to get back to allowing a discourse in our universities and in our high schools that allows the right to express their opinion. I think in the last 40, 50 years, all of us on the right have always felt when we're in a room full of liberals, we got to keep our mouth shut. We can't say what we really want to say for failure of offending this person, offending that person. Political correctness has put us in that place, and we have bowed to it when we should have stood up to it and said, this is not who we are. This does not represent the freedoms that millions have died for. This is an affront to those freedoms, and we should definitely just dismiss any notion of any political correctness. However, we have fallen into that. So first of all, we need to correct that. We need to get rid of tenured professors. We need to open up the stream of education so that males will be enticed to teach the younger children without fear of sexual, like we saw with Kavanaugh. You're going to see even more men now afraid to enter these fields like education and all of this because of what just happened with Judge Kavanaugh. Right. Yep. So it has to start there. It has to start with the education. And secondly, we have to get rid of a media that is run by conglomerates. We have to support local media. We have to support shows like this and turn off the crap on mainstream television.
I absolutely agree with you, Jürgen. You know, there's so many things that we can bring to the table here to talk about what's going on and start providing solutions, because every time that Justin Trudeau speaks, he creates a new problem. So then we have to go and search for a new solution for this. So we get further, in my view, from what the central problem is. And at this point, yes, we can say it's politics overall, but it's obviously been taken to an incredibly heightened level by the Liberal Party in the current regime. So, you know, I hope certainly that as we move closer to what may be this snap election, you know, people can't just sit back and only 50% of the voting public votes. Okay, because in my view, if you don't get out there and vote for, let's say, the right candidate or the right party, then you really don't have a right to have an opinion about any subject. You've just been one of those walkover people, and it's nothing against you on a personal note, but you know what? Please don't offer me an opinion in the context of a conversation, because you didn't take a God-given right that you were given and put it to use. So you ended up with somebody who was brought into power based upon having nice hair, apparently. Well, you know, I'm sorry. If that's your philosophy and criteria on how you actually vote for somebody, I guess we better start teaching these things in the leftist type of schools that we have right now.
Well, and it's always, you bring up something, a good point, Rob. We're always so big on rights, and whether it's the left or the right, they're always screaming that we have to respect our rights and we have certain inalienable rights. Well, with those rights comes responsibility. And that's the part that we've forgotten about. It's the responsibility to protect those rights is up to each and every one of us. It's not just up to the soldiers we hire in our army. It's up to each and every one of us. And if you feel like you're the one that's being discriminated in your classroom because you have a right wing point of view, you need to stand up to the bully professors and the bully students that are with you that would take your right, your freedom to express your opinion away from you. It's time that we stand up, guys. We have to stand up. Look what they did to the Sun News Network. They totally took away any right-wing vision of this country on television. They took that away. There isn't a single outlet out there in the mainstream media that offers us our point of view on the mainstream media, not a single one in this country. It's absolutely disgusting. The CBC needs to be defunded, and CTV along with it, and these corporations that own them need to be dethroned, period.
Right, and the rebel media has applied to the CRTC how many times now?
Oh,
they get
it's
feed
a joke.
On mainstream media. I know it's an absolute joke. I mean, there's a lot of things that are talked about on rebel media that I don't agree with, but a lot of stuff they expose you'll never hear on mainstream. So I'm telling Canadians, go listen to what they got to say. Make your own opinion on things. Research it yourself if you don't believe what they're telling you. But they've exposed a lot of information that a lot of people are thanking them for, Jürgen. So,
and it's almost like they're forced underground, Barry, right?
Yeah, but they've also got over a million viewers. Yeah, well, I know they're being forced underground. They're going to come under attack. But the more people that support this and the more people that become aware, whether you like some of the stuff they're saying or not, they're another source of media. And I say, people, go listen to the rebel. You don't have to like them, you don't, but listen to the opinion, because you're not going to hear that opinion anywhere else in Canada right now. Go ahead.
If you look at the lies that is perpetrated by the left about right-wing sites, and then they just jump on this massive talking point where you watch every channel and the same talking point happens, to the point where everyone believes the crap and thinks, well, we better turn the rebel off. We better shut down Sun News Network, because obviously these people on the left are telling us how bad they are, so we better listen to them. It's gotten so sick. I have people that I know and I love. I listen to them and I go, my God, please turn off CNN. You are so poisoned. Your mind isn't open at all.
It's funny that you mentioned CNN, Jürgen, because Anderson Cooper is a distant cousin of mine.
Oh, congratulations.
yeah, he's not considered one of the upper echelon of our family tree. So.
Well, you just got to look at their attendance numbers now and the listener base, and it's falling apart right now. So people are starting to see through it all. like I said, I'm not telling people to go support the rebel. All I'm doing is saying there's another alternative voice out there right now that is making a lot of sense on a lot of issues, and a lot of Canadians are resonating. They actually interviewed Maxime Bernier the other day, and that's a very good conversation. It just makes common sense. Like I said, there's a lot of things talked about that I don't agree with that station, but they do bring out information that nobody else does. So go there for information, guys, and listen to it and rattle around your brain and see what you come up with. Go ahead, guys.
In 2006, if I can jump in 2006, when I ran as an independent in Nepean Carlton against Lisa McLeod and Rob Ford, who was the ex-police chief in the area and all that. I had a pretty good run, and I won some debates. And there was a debate one morning that we had at the CHRO studios in downtown Ottawa. And right after the debate, we're walking out of the building, and Lisa McLeod says to me, "All right, Jürgen, are you coming with us? We're going down to the Ottawa Citizen for the debate." And I said, "What debate at the Ottawa Citizen?" And she kind of looks at me stunned. She says, "So you weren't invited?" I said, "No, I wasn't invited." And thinking back now, I had an appointment because I was working. I had a job. So I had set up an appointment to visit a client. What I should have done is canceled the appointment and gone to the Citizen anyway and barged into the debate. But just to show you what they do, they take a legitimate voice and they don't even allow you into the conversation.
Well, of course, look what just happened with Faith Goldie in Toronto.
Exactly.
Just a blatant example of it. It's just unbelievable that that's going on.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
and at the time, I just need to throw this out there. At the time, 27% of the people voted. 73% stayed at home. That's the problem we have.
Well, maybe we got to get the voter out. These people, I think, at this point are so concerned about the future of the country, if they're paying attention to any of this, that they'll get out and vote. But yeah, you know, Faith Goldie, she's polling third in Toronto, and she has got no media support at all. Zero.
That's right.
And John Tory, of course, who was a CEO at Rogers Communication at one point before he became mayor of Toronto, still has major shareholding in Rogers Communication, disallowed her appearance on stage. Where have we gotten to, guys? We're talking about blatant, outright fascism, and we're seeing
it. Think about the lie of him calling himself a conservative.
Yeah.
He actually called himself a conservative.
I'll talk to anybody except for some racist, far-right, bigoted person. Yeah. And he, of course, was talking about Faith Goldie. And anybody that's listening to Faith Goldie, she is a very, very intelligent woman. Sure, she might have made a few slip-ups in the past. We all do. But her level of intelligence, I absolutely admire. And her attack right now, that what's going on is just ramping people up in Toronto. She is going to make an impact on this next election, whether they give her support or not, period. Because the more you push back, the more people want to know why.
We had a rally in Ottawa there back in, I think in the spring of 2017, up on Parliament Hill. We were fighting M103. And Antifa was across the street demonstrating against us. And once the rally was over, I went across the street and Faith Goldie was interviewing some of the Antifa people. And I actually went up and I went up to one of the Antifa people pretending to be a tourist in Ottawa at the time. And but I had already just given some speeches up on the hill and I'd been interviewed up there. Anyways, I went down there and I talked to one of the Antifa people, and I don't know. I've never looked into such empty eyes in my life. This girl who was the Antifa person had the mask on and the whole bit. And Faith Goldie was interviewing another one of them. And I basically asked this, or my friend asked the Antifa gal who had pulled down her mask to engage in conversation with me because I had acted so stupid. I said, "What's going on?" And she was so happy to let me know that all the people on the hill were all these white supremacists and they're all a bunch of Nazis and they're all telling all these bad things up there. And I said to her, I said, "You know, it's really strange because I just looked up there. There's black people, there's white people, and there's women, and there's Hispanics. There's all kinds of different colors and shades of people, and young and old. You think they're all Nazis and white?" "Oh yeah, they're all," and just the anger was just, it was just so empty and so hollow. It wasn't based on anything other than rhetoric she was fed. And then my friend says, "So how much are you getting paid for doing this?" And the look on her face, her jaw just dropped, and her eyes gave us the complete indication that, uh-oh, they know we're getting paid to do this.
Absolutely.
It's outrageous.
Yeah, it's interesting because last year when the whole Charlottesville, Virginia situation happened, I believe it was July last year, And it was so funny because I was acquainting myself to Antifa. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm gathering as much evidence as possible against who these individuals are and so on. And it was really funny because the research always, and I always say this to people, like, follow the money. And it always trails back to whomever it needs to trail back to. And I said, I will guarantee, before I actually knew, I said, it wouldn't surprise me if it's one of the 200 plus, you know, organizations that the Open Society, George Soros's Open Society, is actually funding. Well, sure enough, it did exactly that. And it was funny because at the end of the Charlottesville protest, all of the Antifa people were standing on one side of the street and they were chanting in unison, George Soros, where's our money? George Soros, where's our money? Oh, I was just roaring. I go, there you go. You know, Craigslist crisis actors at your disposal. So, you know, people just have to understand like where this is coming from. And I certainly have a lot of conversations around the Antifa situation. And of course, what happened to Faith a few months ago, where she was reporting, I believe it was at the Roxham border, and the police were standing around and she was pushed to the ground and she was being assaulted, and her cameraman, I believe, as well. And the police just stood by and did absolutely nothing. You know, this is a kind of, I don't know, standoffish attitude or orders that they're getting from the Liberal Party in order to stand down, much like the Democratic Party is doing to Antifa down in the States and such. It's such a devastating thing to believe that law enforcement and maybe even the military as well. I can't say for sure, and I don't want to put them under like a criminal watch perhaps, but I just see elements of a group like an Antifa, which is a recognized official terrorist group. And the fact that law enforcement is not taking the steps that they are supposed to do in the world of to protect and to serve. So these kinds of things to me are just continuation of creating that much more of an anger and that much more of a desire in order to do that much more in order to further the cause of Canadian citizens and hopefully U.S. citizens as well, to go like, you know what? We've got to do something. You've been laid back for too long. Do something. Mm.
Makes you wonder how deep the tentacles really go, how many people are involved. It boggles my mind that the police are now controlled by the government. You have an extension of government arm. The RCMP have not done their job in Canada, and we're dealing with it now, and it's only going to get better. Go ahead, Jurgen.
We're paying two federal agencies with our taxation to break the law, and that's the RCMP at the border, and that's the Border Services Agencies. We're paying both agencies to break the law. Thank you very much, Justin Trudeau.
Every day of the week.
I just wanted to add this as well. You were talking about Black Lives Matter. We're talking about Antifa. How come we have never talked about the fact there was neither of these groups in this country before Trudeau? They arrived on the scene the same time that Justin Trudeau arrived on the scene.
They did.
So if you haven't got your head up your butt or in some sand, you would coordinate that effort and know that Soros paid these guys to show up the day that Trudeau showed up. And that's why I say I want an inquiry. I want an investigation into who meddled into our last election.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, Trudeau didn't have a two-hour closed-door meeting with George Soros in Davos. They weren't talking about their grandchildren, I'll guarantee you that. Yeah, there was no press allowed, no media coverage, just a friendly conversation between George and Justin for 2 hours. And look what's going on, guys. I mean, the same thing that's going on here is going on south of the border. It's going on all around the world, and it's all coming from one source. And it doesn't take a long time to put all the dots together. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, you know, it's it's an interesting thing to speak of someone like a George Soros, because there are a lot of people that I personally speak to who have never heard the man's name. And, you know, we can kind of go back into the mainstream media for just that sort of thing to talk about. And, you know, and I bring up, you know, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. A lot of people have certainly heard their names and whatever, but they really don't know the tie-ins and the generational situation with them and so on. And really how these figures play in really taking the planet Earth and playing the game of Risk with it. You know, they just kind of divide up whatever they feel like dividing up and how they're going to do so. And off they go. So, you know, in the regular workplace, I talk to, you know, groups and groups of people, fortunately, that are, you know, close to me, and I've made them aware of an individual like a George Soros. And again, I always go back to, hey, now that I've given you the name and given you a little information, go do your own research on it. Yeah, Google is scrubbing just about everything negative you can imagine on the Clintons and the Soroses and those kinds of people of the world. But there's still information out there that you need to know and why this is happening the way that it is. Because when you've got a guy like him who has a warrant out for his arrest in so many countries around the world, including his own home country, and then he's the apparent, you know, unofficial economic and immigration advisor to Justin Trudeau in Canada, you better ask some pretty serious questions as to why that is and make sure we're doing everything possible to ensure whatever advice he is being given as the puppet in this whole game, that it never, ever gets carried out. So, you know, I'll continue on with my part. And as I mentioned, and you know, you probably didn't hear this earlier, Jürgen, but I mentioned to Barry that I will be recording the next podcast today is specifically about George Soros. So that's the next up, and we'll get that hopefully up on the website and the YouTube channel probably within the next day or two.
Cool. Excellent. I'll look forward to that for sure. One of the things that I know a group of citizens is very eager about is to try to get us back to paper ballots. I just want to throw that out there because, as we know, George Soros has his fingers on a lot of voting machines. And I'd hate to see a situation where a country now is going to be using George Soros manufactured voting machines, because if we do, we're done.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, kind of what I would call the inside talk that's been coming my way for a while is that the, let's say, the inner workings of putting the rigging of the 2019 election, if it actually ends up in 2019, who knows, it could be in November for all we know at this point. Yeah. All of the inner workings of that have been already since the 2015 election. And, you know, it's very well known that his Tides Foundation put at least $6 million U.S. towards Justin Trudeau in the 15 election and so on. And this is one of those things that I believe, without knowing all the details, that loophole with offshore funding that allows specific individuals or parties to be able to take advantage of something that, where you have, in this case, an individual who has really no ties from citizenship and so on, mm-hmm. who can influence an election the way that a George Soros has the ability to do. And to me, that is something that needs serious focus. And hopefully, as we get the Liberal Party out of here and get hopefully a party in there that really focuses the attention on us in everything that they do. And we have to be a citizen's watchdog with whomever gets in. I think that's one of our main responsibilities. And to ensure that any kind of loophole like that gets closed off, make sure they are working for us, not the other way around.
Well, I'll tell you, gentlemen, if the Liberals get a majority government in the next 4 years, our country is finished. We, as Canada, we right now, the way we know it, will not exist. And that's something we must stop. No matter how we do it, we must stop it. So right now, like I said, with this rise of a third party in Canada, I hope it gets enough Canadians listening to conservative thought that we can stop this madness in Ottawa. And yeah, we should push for paper ballots, because I don't trust machines. Look what went on in the States, man. They have proven time over and time again that these elections can be rigged through this electronic balloting. It doesn't make any sense to me. Of course, it's a mechanism they can use. And if we could get paper ballots, we'll get a true feeling of what Canadians feel. If not, we could be in big trouble. So that must be brought to people's attention.
Absolutely. And we need to ensure that there is no such voting allowed where you do not have proper ID in order to show that you have the eligibility to vote.
Yeah, exactly.
You're absolutely right on that one, Rob. And also, I would urge all the listeners, you know, Canadians are always saying, well, what can I do? I'm only one person. There's nothing I can do. Well, here's something you can do. Every one of you can do this, and please heed my call. If you care about this country for once in your life, get off your couch, get off your butt, and volunteer as a scrutineer in a voting in a voting station. We need scrutineers to make sure that the voting is done in a legal and a proper fashion, because I've heard testimonies over past elections where people have taken boxes home. We need to have scrutineers. That's something everyone can do for one day in your life. Go to the voting station and volunteer as a scrutineer and make sure the votes are counted properly. Period.
Okay.
Great.
I'm down.
Great idea.
I'll do that.
I'll do the same.
There you go.
It's just one way we can assure that we're going to get a fair election. I know there's so many other deep things we need to do, but this is one thing that every Canadian can do. You guys are doing your bit. We're doing our bit. We're doing everything we can. I've been fighting for almost 50 years in this country to get justice with my wife, with the tainted blood scandal, with people robbing our store and people walking on the street for taking away our livelihood. It's a nightmare. The judicial system, the health system, everything needs repair. And we walk away from the obvious, but we bring in gender neutrality, and we bring in bestiality laws, and we open up our borders to people who aren't compatible with our people. Give me a break. Canadians are already getting killed. I hate to see the phrase, uh-oh, it's starting. Well, guess what? It's already started. We're in a friggin' mess, and it's time to get off your ass. So, getting back, and I got to be calm, got to take my meds.
Keep going, Jordan.
The bottom's going up. I mean, I can feel the temperature in the room's rising. We just turned down the furnace.
Well, hey, listen, buddy, if we can't vent anger right now, then I don't know what to say, because
who's going to investigate the foreign funding that's pouring into the Trudeau Foundation? We're being sold out, ladies and gentlemen. We should be getting a check at the end of every year rather than paying exorbitant taxes for the amount of resources this country holds, for the amount of people that work in this land. We should be getting a damn check. We've been getting robbed every year of our lives from these thieves that sit in positions of power who are nothing but degenerates that pass laws about sexuality and combining sexuality and gender bender ideology with economics. It's an absolute disgrace.
Yep. And the Clinton Foundation thanks the Canadian taxpayers for $241 million.
Yes, thank you so much.
Way to go, Justin. Have such a, he's my
Justin,
hero.
You have so much fun now.
Yeah.
Hey, anybody here that hasn't looked at the Trudeau Foundation, go take a look at that. What a sham, man.
Well, you take a look at the Trudeau Foundation symbol. It's almost a carbon copy of the NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association symbol. It's almost identical.
It's an FBI pedophile symbol in the FBI playbook for pedophilia. And I've heard several stories now that Pierre Laporte was killed in 1969 or 70 in the October crisis because he was going to expose Pierre Trudeau and his pedophilia, not because of some FLQ crisis. These guys had done nothing but blow up mailboxes up until that point.
Yeah. Oh, I just hope patriots, you know, within the military, within the law enforcement agencies and so on, I think they really need to take heed with where their soul is and their morals and their values and their integrity as to where their responsibilities lie, not only with themselves and with the people that they work with, but the Canadian citizens that they have taken an oath to protect. And if they're going to be on the side of a Liberal Party, then I'm sorry, then every last one of them deserves to be gone and jailed.
You know what, guys? Don't be scared to talk to your police. At one point in my life, I never talked to a cop ever. But no, you should get engaged in a conversation with them and find out who it is that you're talking to. They can't arrest you for having a conversation. You don't have to be in fear of them. They're people just like you. They have families just like you. And right now, the problem is that they're being used as a pawn. But you know what? They're just one ring above you in the list of pawns. And when the poop hits the fan, they're going to be just as much disposable as you or me or Jurgen or anybody listening to this conversation right now. They're being played just as much as everybody else. So they are human beings. So don't be afraid to engage in conversation with them.
I'm in full agreement. I fully support the boys in blue. We need law and order. What has happened in our country is the abolition of law and order. We've gotten rid of it. We have a system now based on the Charter of Limited Rights and Restricted Freedoms that is crushing our British common law, which is the base of our entire democracy, based on the Magna Carta, as we all know, which is being crushed by taking a French civil code and matching it with a British common law. It creates creates a nightmare for judges. You have now judges that can just decide on a whim what that law represents. And now we've discovered that there are three areas in this freaking charter that are that have notwithstanding clauses. So you can basically just walk away from anything. And that's why we're seeing restricted sentences, limited sentences for these vicious crimes. And now on top of it, you've got C-75 coming down on the pike that's going to reduce more crimes and put criminals on the street even quicker. I mean, it's just for terrorism, for abducting children. He's reducing all the sentences. What the hell is going on here? And can't people see the depravity for what it is?
He's sounding a lot like Andrew Cuomo, the mayor of New York City, who's letting all the criminals go and then on their way out the door going, well, I hope you vote for me.
Yeah, and don't hurt any of our citizens because you'll look bad and you don't want to make me look bad. No, it's insanity. Bill C-75 is insanity. Every bill this government puts in front of us is insanity.
Did you see the Family Services Act, what Kathleen Wynne did in Ontario, Barry, with that Family Services Act?
I saw that.
It blows me away that the people in Ontario.
I follow her like a fox, buddy. And she is the depth of depravity.
Go ahead. She should be in jail just for that act alone, to take out the notion that God in the Family Services Act and replace it with gender is absolutely disgraceful. And how come nobody rises up and fights that?
Good question, Jürgen. Where are Canadians? Where are people? What's happened to our society, man? Are we past the point? I mean, it makes me wonder some days. I'm going to say no. But, you know, there's this nagging thought in my mind that all this information is in front of people right now. It's so black and white. It's undeniable. It's threatening our existence, our way of life, and the future of our flipping children. And you can't get off your couch. I go, what the hell's going on with our society? Has society become so weak, so screwed up from everything that's been injected into our society over the last 50 years to get to this point? Because that's what's gone on. This agenda that's being played out on us has been in think tanks for 50 years. And this is what we're going to do. And this is what we're going to introduce to society to get us to this point right now, where we're a bunch of spineless, mixed up, confused, don't care what's going on. I don't care people. I mean, I can't understand it, man. We're talking about the future of our children. And to me, that's the most important. I mean, go ahead. I don't know what to say. I really don't. Some days, Jürgen, I don't know if we can wake them up because the evidence is right there right now. So why aren't they all screaming? I don't get it.
It certainly does boggle the mind. It's beyond belief when the information, like Rob said earlier, I cannot understand how anyone of your generation, Rob, does not know George Soros. How can you not know who this man is if you're involved in your life at all? And it goes back to what we talked about earlier. We talked about how we scream about our rights, and yet we diminish the fact that with those rights comes our responsibility to at least be somewhat informed about what the real issues are, to know what the trade policies are of this government, and to see a lie for what it is. And when people promise you things that are free, to realize nothing in this world is free.
You know, it's an unfortunate thing, but it seems like that complacency, or just the loss of sheer will, maybe sometimes with anything, that has put people into a place where, you know, for let's say the elderly generation like my father, I mean, Law and Order reruns are the course of the day because that's easier, and that's a lot, I don't have to think about what's going on in the world, down to the millennial generation, to who's thinking about, well, you know what? I just want to get as many likes as I can get from my most recent selfie. Like you get these kinds of strange thinkings, but you see how society has kind of, as I would put it, zombified people in order to get to that place where they think really that's about all there is. And that's an unfortunate place to be. And it's something that I've discussed a lot with mostly conservative MPs, in the sense that, look, if you're looking at demographics, which I know you are, you have to be able to get out there to these demographics and inform them properly. Otherwise, number one, they're not going to vote. And if they do actually go out and vote, they're just going to go out and vote as so many others did, apparently, and vote for the person with the nicest hair. So it's imperative that people actually want to take hold of that ball and start rolling with it. Otherwise, you get these generations or large majorities within these generations where they go, you know what, I really don't care. I just want to know maybe tomorrow morning I get up and I can go turn the tube on today.
Yeah, still food in the food store, and there's still gas, and I got a little bit left out of my paycheck, so everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Those guys will look after it. We've got to get rid of that attitude right out the door.
Well, that's the sad part. Yeah, that's the sad part, Barry. I've had so many people come up to me over the years in all the various organizations I was in, thanking me for participating and telling me how their life is so busy, otherwise they would be involved. Yeah. And I always go back to them and say, you know what? My life's busy too. And yet I realize that I have a responsibility. When are you going to wake up and realize you also have that responsibility? Not to thank me for doing what you think you should be doing, but to actually do it yourself.
Yeah, I had one guy at 66 years old, he got grandchildren and children. He came back to me after we talked a little bit about a few things. He said, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to be dead and gone. You know what, I turned around right to Jim Hortons, and I said to him, man, you're leaving this pile of shit for your, excuse my language, for your children to look after. Shame on you.
You're right, shame on him.
I turned around and I said that right to his face. You're leaving this pile for your children to look after. I said, shame on you. I got up from the table. I had to leave because other words were going to start coming out of my mouth and I was going to blast them. So I had to cut it off. But we got to confront this guy.
Yeah, Barry, we have to speak up. It's time to speak up. Barry. Our time for laying in the woods is over. Our time for sitting still and taking it is over. We have to stand up. And if that means we have to scream a little louder than they do, then scream a little louder than they do. They have to be put in their place. They're not going to take us down and rip away the freedoms that it's taken generations and millions of lives to create.
Absolutely. And there's more of us than them, guys.
Barry.
Yes, sir.
Kelly's got something for you. Kelly said something
to you. I'm sorry,
what? Kelly said something to you.
Who?
Kelly.
Oh, good. To repeat his contact information. Okay. I'm sorry. I wasn't in chat there for a few minutes, guys. I find it hard to communicate there and communicate here because I got limited brain power, you know, so I got to pay attention to what my guests are saying. So you guys in chat, I'm sorry about that, but I see the message now. Kelly and Elizabeth want you to repeat your contact info before the end of the show, Rob. So I'll give you a chance to do that. The show is just about over, so why don't you do that? And then, Jürgen, I'm going to let you share your contact information, your last thoughts. And we're down to the last 5 minutes. That went really quick. We could talk for 3 hours about these subject, guys. We really could. There's so many rabbit holes we can go down to get people to understand what's going on. Rob, go ahead.
All right. Well, thanks again, Barry, for having me on the show. For all the listeners out there who are not aware of the show yet, I have a YouTube channel and a website. And the YouTube channel, you can go to So Not PC Podcast with Rob Adamus. That's spelled A-D-O-M-U-S. And on my website, it's www.sonotpcpodcast.com.
Thanks,
Bud. Awesome. And great to meet you today, Rob. It's great to be on your show. Barry, thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it. You can catch me on my Facebook page right now. My radio show is dead and gone. The network closed up there a few months back. But we'll get back somehow. But hit me up on my Facebook page called Against the Grain, News You're Not Supposed to Know.
I'm listening to this. Sorry, guys. I'm not going to get in chat because it really kind of gets me going in two different directions here. Chatting. And anyways, you know what? Every week I say these are great shows. And you know what? This one's right on the top. I've really enjoyed having you in today, Rob. Like I said, it's the first time I've been able to converse with you and share our thoughts. And everything we've talked about today resonates with me. And we are at a very, very peculiar time right now. And we must be heard. And Jürgen, always a pleasure to have you in, man. I understand your passion and your frustration and your absolute disdain for what's going on in our country and what this country's given to you and what's being taken away from us right now. It boggles my mind why Canadians cannot rise in voice. But in the same mouthful, I think people are starting to really pay attention. I just hope the wave gets really big really quick. And we drown all these evil pricks that are doing this to our world. That's my prayer for today, guys. Thanks for joining me. Rob, one last thought for you before I shut up the show.
Oh, boy. I could have a lot of thoughts. But, you know, I just want people to understand that this is just really, at this point, a war between good and evil. And you have to really choose what side you're on. And I know that there's way more good than there is evil out there in people. And we just need to come together as a country. And when you have 37 million citizens in a country versus, you know, 184 liberal MPs and such and whatever other factions that may be against us, we have a power and a synergy that as long as we come together, we can face and beat anything that we want to. So I want people to realize what kind of power they really have within them.
Rob and Jurgen, quick last thought, buddy, and then finish up the show up.
Well, again, real quick, I'll echo what you said there, Rob. We need to get off our butts. And again, like I said earlier, if there's something that you can do, please go and volunteer and be a scrutineer.
Thanks again, Jurgen. Thanks again, Rob. And we're going to do this again real soon. And I don't know what to say after a show like this. We put this information out to you guys, and it's coming from our hearts. And I just hope that you feel that and really, really take action right now in your lives in any way possible to stand against this machine that is absolutely running over top of us. My hopes and prayers for today. Thanks for joining me, guys. Thanks for Steve for producing my shows, as always. And thank you for PR for allowing me this platform to share my thoughts with you guys. I'll be back again next week, same time, same place. I'm also going to be doing an impromptu show this week, Thursday. Steve's gracious enough to produce a show, and we're going to talk with a group that's involved with the travesty going on against the South American farmers. And people can find my shows at www.cancelthecabal. I don't have the exact address in my brain, but my shows are all accredited there. Thanks again, guys, and we'll be back next week, same time, same place.